Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're in the middle of Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph, actually very near the bottom, but in the middle of a discussion about how to interpret the Pasuk Ba'al Hashor Naki and what its application is. And so far we saw the first application was an Isur Hanoah from Shor HaNiskal, and then we saw the possibility of it extending to an Isur Hanoah from the Pelt. Then we saw the possibility that it was implied an exemption from either the payment of half kofar in the case of a tam, or an exemption from dmei vladot. Tanya idach bala shonaki Rabbi Akiva omer nakimi dmei eved. So Rabbi Akiva, who in the two previous drashot was the opposite number, who said there is no need for the text to exempt a shor from kofar or from vladot. Here is the author of the one who says that Baal HaShor Naki exempts him from the payment for May Eved. Now that is in a case where the shor killed an Eved. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva challenge himself with the argument that he used against Rabbi Eliezer, which is that after all, a short time when he kills is killed. And a short time can only be paid from his body, so there's nothing left. So there's no way that he could pay the Shloshim Shalevet because he's already dead. So Amar Shumam Rav Yitzchak, Kishakaram Bala Bushchato, we're talking about a case where the owner, before the Beit Din executed the animal, the owner shechted him first. I might think that in that case, since the ox isn't dead, and since it wasn't killed by Beit Din, and since now there's something to sell, you should use that money to pay the shloshim. Kamash Milan, that is exempt. Why? Ho elubar katalahu, since the animal was supposed to be killed, avagav shachter lo nishtalim minei, we don't pay from there. So, ihachil abliyazu nami shekarim ashchato. And what this means here is that in the case where Rabbi Akiva opposed Rabbi Eliezer earlier on, and Daf Malafam Bet, and he said to him, after all, the animal's being killed by that, why didn't Rabbi Akiva anticipate such a response from Rabbi Eliezer and say, and assume that this is a case where the owner shechted him first? And why did Rabbi Eliezer, this is not asking why did Rabbi Eliezer give the answers he gave, because that's going to be in the next question. The answer is Hachinami. Rabbi Akiva could have understood it. So Rabbi Akiva, the reason that he challenged his Rebbe was because he thought his Rebbe had a better argument than this, and indeed he did. A case where either the animal killed apiyat echad, or a case where the animal killed with wrong kavana. Either way, the animal wouldn't die. Now, Rabbi Eliezer nami lishnilei shekarim shchato. So why didn't Rabbi Eliezer use that as the answer, though? Why did Rabbi Eliezer give those two answers that I just mentioned? Why didn't he just say, we're talking about a case where the owner killed him first? I might think that you would pay the half kofar from that payment. So Amar Lacha, Hatam Hudinit Kamin Ahorogat Habimarokat Hadam Nishor La Bartalahu Klal. In the case where the animal intended to kill another animal and instead killed a person, or a Mitzri and killed Israel, or any of those cases, he was never a Bartalah. In that case, I might think he's chayiv kofar because he was never on the table to be killed. Therefore, in the pasuk, but in our case, where the owner just got to him first, he was a barktala. He was going to be chayav mita. He was chayav mita. So, Lord tarich krafagav shachta. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that you don't pay kofar, even in the case where the owner shachted him, because kofar just never was going to happen because this animal was slated to be killed. Okay, Rabbi Akiva name vade hachi have. So Rabbi Akiva has to agree that that's the situation, that if the owner does kill him first, so why does he oppose the way he does? Asi haimiltim pi the gava rabba shmili. I heard this from a great man. Solution of Rabbi Akiva. Uman Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Saka daita chamen. This is what I would have thought. Hoil from Rabbi Akiva aftam shechavo adam shalem mota nezek shalem. A tam who hurts a person, remember Rabbi Akiva Shita, has to pay Nezek Shalem. So Mishtalim Nami Dmei Eved Me'aliyah. So I would think that Rabbi Akiva, I would think, would hold he also has to pay Dmei Eved. And even though he's a short time he's going to be killed, the owner has to pay minha aliyah. Because after all, what's Rabbi Kiva Shita? If a short time attacks a person, the extra payment, whatever is surplus over the sale of the animal, is paid minha aliyah. You don't say that whatever the animal can bring, that's the max. That's the cap that can be paid. You have to pay for full damages. So I might think in the same way, just because you kill the tam, you still have to pay chatziko for min aliyah, and therefore it's pater. Therefore the pasuk says pater. So that's the reason. Amar Rabbi Zera Levasi, Hatav Rabbi Kiva Ligzize, but Rabbi Kiva already broke his own fork, his own knife, as it were, because he destroyed that approach itself about paying from tam that hurts a person, paying from migufo. So Rabbi Kiva Omer, Chod Shalim min aliyah. Rabbi Kiva himself said, I might think you pay a short time, pays min haliyah, tamen lomar kemishpat hazeh yaseh lo. The text says, whether he kills a boy or a girl, you do the same thing. And the way Rabbi Kiva reads it is, migufo mishalim, meaning a tam is always paid migufo, ve'en mishalim min haliyah. Whether it hurts a person, another animal, doesn't matter. So Rabbi Kiva already destroyed that whole shita. So again, we go back and say, why would Rabbi Akiva ever consider that you would pay kofar that he says the text has to exempt him? I'm sorry, shloshim shalevet. The reason is because, in a sense, the payment for Eved is more severe than for a regular person. Why? A Ben Chorin, you pay what he's worth. So if it's an old person or a weak person or something, you're going to pay very little. Eved, Yafes Selon, Oten Shloshim. But an Eved, no matter how little he's worth, you pay Shloshim. So an Eved, in a sense, is more Chomer. I might still think that if a short tam kills an eved, you kill the ox and then you have to pay shloshim min haliyah. That's what Rabbi Kiva said, that in this particular case, the text has to go out of its way to exempt the shor for a short tam for payments of eved, because I would think that since eved is more chamur, I would pay it. Tanakhavatid Rabban, we have a subrite that supports that. Since, after all, you're liable for killing either. Just like when an animal kills a free man, you distinguish between tam and muad. In as far as kofar goes, you don't pay kofar if it's tam. So the same thing with an eved, we have to distinguish between tam and muad. That if his short muad kills an eved, you pay shloshim and not tam. V'yod kal v'chomer, and it's not only a parody, but it's also a kal v'chomer. Ma ben chorin shenotein kol shovyo ben chorin. After all, you pay the flat amount. Chilak to women tam l'muad, you still distinguish between tam and muad and don't pay kofar for tam. Eved she'enotein el shloshim, and in the case of an eved, you only pay shloshim. Here we're seeing that as a kula. Certainly we should distinguish between tam and muad and not pay the shloshim shalavet if it's a short tam. And that we reject by saying, lo, machmirani be'eved yoter min nuchorin. Eved is more chamur. Nuchorin yafesel noten sal shloshim noten shloshim. Eved yafesel noten shloshim. And eved always gets shloshim even if he's worth much less. Yachol yehei chayav. I might think, therefore, that a short tam that kills an eved, you have to pay shloshim. Tamalor ala shor naki. Naki midmei eved. Oh, okay, so that brightza supports Rava's take on Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva, unlike his position on kofar, on Veladot, where he opposed the suggestion that a short tam would be chayav, that the text had to negate, when it comes to Eved, he suggests why we would think you do have to pay Dmei Eved, and therefore the text has to negate it. Tanu Rabbana, Vehemit Ish O Isha. Right, so now in the context of a shor killing a person, Kiva V'chima Bazelam Deinu, he says, what's that teaching us? Ima Chayiv Al Isha Ki Ish. If you're coming to tell me that you're liable for hurting a woman like hurting a man, HaKfar Nemar Ki Gach Shor Et Ish O Et Isha. The text already says, if an ox gores a man or a woman, you have to pay. Kishi Shali Ish. It's there to compare the payments due to a woman as to a man. Ma Ish Nizakav Liyoshav. Just like if it killed a man, the kofar goes to his heirs. Afisha Nizakav Liyosheha. Same thing. A woman, the damages go paid to her heirs, the notion being, and not to her husband. Vesav Rabbi Akiva Liyarit Labal. The Rabbi Akiva holds that a husband doesn't inherit what his wife has. But here a shor killed a woman, so her husband should inherit the payment. Vatanavi Arashota, in this context of Parshata Nachalot in Parsha Pinchas, says Virashota, Mikan Shabal, Yoresh Dishto, Rekiva. Rekiva says that's the source that a husband inherits his wife's assets, Midoraita. So you see, Rabbi Kiva holds that husband does inherit. Amish Lakish, Lamar Ela B'Kofer. Rabbi Kiva only limited this halacha that if a woman gets kofer, posthumously, obviously, that it only goes to her children and not to her husband. Hu Ilva Mishtalim Ela Harmita, because since kofer is something that could only be paid after death, Havile Ra'ui. This is a sugya in the 8th parak of Babatra, where we say that which a person is muhzak, that which a person has possession of before he dies, he goes the normal route of Yerusha, and therefore the Bechor gets a double portion. We're going to get back to this in a little bit. However, that which is Ra'ui, meaning something that would only come to somebody after death, there you don't have Bechor Pishnaim. So Rabbi Kiva holds the same thing, that the husband only inherits that of his wife, which she was Muchzak in, which she owned before. And the husband does not inherit ra'ui, meaning only those payments that would come after her death, that only her children get. My time, how do we know that kofar is ra'ui? Amar kra v'himiti shoisha, and then hashor yisakel, and then v'gam balav yumat, and then im kofar yushat alav. So it's only after the animal is killed, and the owner dies, as it were, by paying kofar, at the end, which means the animal is already dead, and mean the woman already died. Kofar can't be paid if, let's say, the woman is injured and are waiting to see what happens. Only after she dies is paid, which means it's by definition ra'ui lavo laharmita. Now, nezakin lo amar Akiva. Akiva did not say that in other cases of nezakin, a woman keeps her payments and it goes to her heirs and not to her husband. Vatanya hikaita shavi etzu lada. If a man hurt a woman and she lost, she was pregnant, she lost a child. The payment for the damage and the pain, suffering, go to the woman, but the payment for the lost children goes to the husband, or the father of those children. Ein habal, if he's not alive, not ten liyoshav, it goes to his heirs. Ein ha'isha, if she's not alive, not now liyoshav, the payments that go to her yorshim. All right, and this Rabbi Kiva is going to agree with, and it goes to her heirs, even though this isn't kofar. Ha'itashivcha v'nishtachara, O Gioret, let's say that the woman who was pregnant was a Gioret, a woman who converted afterwards, or a Shifcho became liberated afterwards. Zacha, then the person who hit her gains because they have to pay anybody. Now, Amara, so how do we explain this if Rish Lakish said that Rabbi Akiva only extended this particular halacha of the money going to her heirs and not to the husband, in the case of kofar, because it's ra'ui. So, Amaraba b'grusha. Rabba says, this last halacha we saw was about a grusha, meaning a woman was married, or not married, doesn't matter, and was pregnant, and somebody hit her after she was divorced. And it was at this particular point she's divorced. Or even after he hit her, she got divorced, but when it comes time for din, she's grusha. So if she's alive, the money for Nezek and Sar go to her. And if, on the other hand, she's dead, then the money goes to her heirs. They're not going to go to her husband. She's not married to him anymore. Rav Nachman b'grusha. And Rav Nachman and Rabba said the same thing. Now, I'm b'grusha, and I'm in tiflog bin v'leid v'adot. So, parenthetically, why do we say the husband gets all the money for the v'adot? Why doesn't the woman get part? So, this is a separate halacha. Our papa, ha-toraz z'chta d'mei v'adot l'ba'al filu ba'al l'abiznut. The Torah gave the rights to the ownership of Vladot to the husband or the man, even if the relationship was an illicit one. My time on Makra, Kasher Shitalav Bal Haisha. He's the one who's in charge of putting the payment on him. All right. Vinukma Larama Gonshe Gavu Ma'ot of Nachon Gonshe Gavu Karka. And this you have to take a look at Rashi. He's referring to a sugi again in the 8th parak of Batra. Talks about, in what particular cases, this is the shita of the Rabbanan against that of Rebbe, in what particular cases the Bechor will get a double portion of appreciation of value after the death of the bequeather, of the father, let's say. So here's what happens. Rabba says if the heirs seized money of that appreciation, then the Bechor gets Pishnaim. Rav Nachman says the opposite. Money won't, but if he seized Karka, he will. Diam Rabba, Gavu Karka, Yeshlo, Gavu Maot, Inlo. Nachman Amar, Gavu Maot, Yeshlo, Gavu Karka, Inlo. Actually, I had it backwards. Rabba said that if they seized Karka, then they do get the double portion in the appreciation, but not money. Rav Nachman had the opposite position. So why don't we just have a scenario where Nachman and Rabba don't have to say that the woman in that case was divorced? Just say it was a regular married woman. She was attacked. She died, and therefore her heirs went ahead and seized either money or karka of the estate of that portion. In which case, they get to keep it because. It's because that's they get that portion if they seize it. Amri, the answer is Hani Mili Livnei Rav Alibid Rabbanan. That entire direction is only based on the report that we got from Eretz Yisrael according to the Rabbanan. Ki ka Amri Hacha, but here when they said the halacha here of Grusha ki Rabbi, they were saying it like Rabbi, who says that the Bechor is always notel pishnaim, even in the Shavach, even the appreciation. And therefore, the only way to posit that the Bechor, the parallel to that is the husband in this case, the Bechor, in our particular case, when they said Grusha, they were saying it according to Rabbi. Therefore, the husband would always get the appreciation. In this case, the husband would always Yorisher. And therefore, the only way to posit that she gets it or her heirs get it is to say there's no husband in the picture anymore. Okay, we're going to pause at this particular point, and in the last podcast of this series, in the next podcast, we'll get to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Daled Amud Aleph. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.